This is Tom Rowe, and you're tuned in to Turn on the News, Free 103.9's daily look at radio art, media art, radio news, sound art news, and more. Tonight, WGXC's Sarah Kendall will talk to Kristen Thompson from the Future of Music Coalition about musicians and the radio. We'll also listen to Corporate FM, Stonehenge, Glenn Miller, Wilson Pickett, They Might Be Giants, Neil Young, and more. We'll be back with radio headlines in just a moment. Tom Rowe, you're tuned in to Turn on the News, Free 103.9's daily look at radio art, media news, sound art news, and more. You can go to FREE103POINT9.org or newsroom.free103.9.org for more information about transmission art and its daily news show on Free 103.9 online radio. Today's radio news starts at Stonehenge.
And we'll go outside the Sarsen Stone Ring. Behind the Sarsen Stone, everything sounds fairly similar out here. And I'm just going to walk in a line back to the altar stone.
This is a link via MSNBC to a YouTube video where British researchers conducted experiments at Stonehenge to determine how sounds echoed within the ancient circle of sounds and what it would sound like.
Turn right and walk towards the speaker. You can hear it's a drum beat now. This is what it sounds like.
You can go to cosmiclog.msnbc.msn.com for more information about that and also to the YouTube video link. We'll listen to that a little bit in the background while we update you on other radio news. In the United States, the Federal Communications Commission is the body that regulates the airwaves, and they just named two new commissioners, Jessica Rosenworcel, and the new Democratic commissioner, and takes over from Michael Kopp's seat, and Ajit Pai takes the Republican seat formerly held by Meredith Atwell Baker, according to Broadcasting and Cable. They were both sworn in Monday, May 14th.
Left Sarsen Stone at the edge of the circle and the blue stone in front of it.
Wireless companies are calling for the White House to speed up spectrum efficiency and the freeing up of new spectrum for new wireless applications. CTI, the Wireless Association, has said that while 125 megahertz of spectrum for broadcasters has been freed up in recent years, they need more. The National Telecommunications and Information Administration has identified a potential 210 megahertz of government spectrum, but does not yet have a plan for freeing that up. And they also have to convince many broadcasters to give up their frequencies. There's talk now about giving up the AM radio band and shifting those stations to FM bands, which would be increased. But It's just talk among the industry. You can go to John Egerton's report in Broadcasting and Cable at broadcastingandcable.com.
What do you think about the state of radio today? How do you think radio can be better?
I'm sorry. Forgive me, my pastor and all them down at Christian Fellowship. The radio.
Contrary to much of the self-serving rhetoric, deregulation and the resulting consolidation of the radio industry has revitalized and perhaps saved an industry that I and many fellow Americans alike view as a national treasure.
Behind us now is a trailer for Corporate FM, a movie that aims to track the radio industry from the Telecommunications Act of 1996. And it debuted in April at the Kansas City Film Festival and faces a June 2nd Kickstarter funding deadline.
We can't cover the debt. Who wins in a consolidation?
You can see the trailer at newsroom.3103.9.org.
The fans are hungry for new music.
The beauty of radio is it's free and it's everywhere.
My dream is to bring it back local again, human.
Federal Communications Commission hosts a low-power FM and FM translator public forum at 2 p.m. Wednesday, May 16th. You can watch the forum at fcc.gov/live. Two recent stories about cell phone disconnects. One from not getting any rural service led to two deaths, and another about a cell phone company refusing to help police find an unconscious man because of an unpaid bill. Lisa Harris in the Watershed Post rounds up the now national coverage of the deaths of an elderly couple in Andes, New York, who died from a lack of cell phone service. The story was on the front page of the New York Daily News Friday, May 11th, and along Associated Press wires that same day in the Washington Post and other papers nationally, telling this story. Arthur and Madeline Morris, a Manhattan couple who owned a vacation home on Woodland Hill Drive in Andes, New York, died near their own property after their car slid off the driveway and over an embankment on the afternoon of Thursday, May 3rd. But neither was injured in the crash. New York State Police investigator Alan Farrar told the Watershed Post this week that Arthur had died of asphyxiation, probably after he tried to get out of the car and slipped. Madeline walked to a neighbor's house in an effort to get help, but sustained a head wound while walking through the woods and died of exposure during the night. The Daily News reports that Madeline tried to dial 911 on her cell phone nine times. Nine times that call would not go through, so the panicked seniors tried to escape themselves with disastrous results. Arthur, 88, was smothered trying to crawl out of the Ford Fusion, while brave wife Madeline, 89, trekked to a road but died of exposure after a rainy night under a tarp. You can read that full story at the Watershed Post blog. Boing Boing points us at Nancy Schar's report in the Times Reporter paper in Ohio, writing that a 62-year-old Carrollton area man was found unconscious and unresponsive Thursday morning during an intense search overnight by Carroll County Sheriff deputies, an Ohio State Highway Patrol trooper, and a patrol's airplane. Sheriff Williams said he attempted to use the man's cell phone signal to locate him, but the man was behind on his phone bill, and a Verizon operator refused to connect the signal unless the sheriff's department agreed to pay the overdue bill. After some disagreement, Williams, the sheriff, agreed to pay $20 on the phone bill in order to find the man. You can read that full story at the Times Reporter and a link at the Free 103.9 Newsroom blog.
to do now. No more lonely nights will you be alone. All you got to do is hit your telephone and dial
6 3 4 5 7 8 9.
That's my number.
6 3 4 5 7 8 9.
Oh yeah.
6 3 4 5 7 8.
Darling, on the telephone.
6 3 4 5 7 8.
No more to be alone.
6 3 4 5 7 8 9.
That's my number.
'Cause my alarm clock always wakes me right up. And since my options have been whittled away, I struck a bargain with my radio DJ. I said I'd like this song to be number one. He said I'd really, really like to help you, my son. And then I knew that I would have him to thank, because he asked me how much I had in the bank. He said to think long-term investment, and that all the others have forgiven themselves. He said the net reward would justify the colossal mess they made of their lives. He said the record wouldn't have to be hot, and no one ever seemed to care if it's not. It would depend on something else that I've got, and that the other ones are giving it a shot. I'd seen a modest some girl geometrically, and then they had forgiven themselves, because the net reward had justified the colossal mess they made of their lives. Hey, Mr. DJ, I thought she said we had a deal. I thought she said, you scratch my back and I'll scratch your record. And I thought she said we had a deal. Well, I told you about the world that's a dress. I wonder when they're gonna clean up the mess. You know the rabbit child is still tuning in. Chespie's face is patient, must be wearing thin, because they haven't played the song on the air. Not that anyone but me even care. And the disc jockey has moved out of town. The district caller says he'd know where to be found. He said to think long-term investment, and that all the others have forgiven themselves. He said the net reward would justify the colossal mess they made of their lives. Hey, Mr. DJ, I thought she said we had a deal. I thought she said, you scratch my back and I'll scratch your record. And I thought she said we had a deal.
Was They Might Be Giants with Hey Mr. DJ, I Thought You Said We Had a Deal. And that leads us to our next interview, which is from WGXC's Sarah Kendall talking to Kristen Thompson from the Future Music Coalition about artists, musicians, and the radio.
Talk about what people's knee-jerk responses were or reactions to a conversation about radio, about broadcast radio. What was the, how would you characterize that response?
Yeah, it's very interesting because with the Artist Revenue Streams project, we collected information and data directly from musicians and composers through three methods simultaneously. And when we did the interviews with a variety of musician types, you know, maybe it's a Nashville songwriter or an indie rocker or a hard rock band that tours all the time. And the reactions were very, very specific and unique to the fields that they're in, kind of. Mm. The country songwriters and the managers that come from the country community talk about how important country radio in particular, but commercial radio has been for their genre. Whereas Interestingly, a metal band I interviewed had found great success in not only college radio, but also in Sirius XM, because there's specialized channels that really focus on hard rock. And but then there's some other musicians who thought that radio really wasn't, hadn't really, they like it when they can get airplay, but they don't count on it. So it's so rare in some instances for jazz and classical artists to get airplay that they, you know, they appreciate it when it happens, but they don't count on it.
And can you talk a little bit about some of those alternatives? Some, like, I think in the report it calls them radio-like experiences or radio-like services, like Sirius XM. What are some of the other ones, and how did they play into the findings?
Yeah, there have been quite a few that have developed over the past 12 years, and we call them radio-like experiences because to the listener, it really feels the same. You know, whether you're listening to, whether you turn on your radio in your car or you are listening to a webcast through your computer or on your mobile phone, a lot of it feels the same because it's all push technology. There's somebody that's curating this music, what's happening, what's being delivered to them, and so they just benefit from listening to whatever the DJ is picking or whatever. So amongst the sort of radio-like experiences are now not only commercial radio, but also non-commercial, including, you know, community-supported radio like GXC. There's also college radio. There's NPR itself and all its music-focused shows that they now produce. Pandora, all the webcasts that are sort of webcast-only stations that don't have a terrestrial footprint. And then there's Sirius XM.
I was interested in the report to hear about the Telecommunications Act in 1996 and how radio deregulation shifted radio's role in the music industry. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Future Music Coalition has done quite a bit of work on the impact of the 1996 Telecommunications Act on the entire radio landscape. We've published a few reports about it, usually through the lens of how it's impacted musicians and the public, and how what kind of radio experience we can expect, mostly from the commercial side. But I was surprised that when we asked interviewees about, you know, do you get played on the radio, or what do you think about radio, a number of people, unprompted by us, talked about how much the 1996 Act had actually impacted their community. And especially came up with the country, the folks from Nashville that relied on country music airplay. And I think it was probably what we got from the interviews is something that was really pervasive in our prior work, our prior research on the topic, was that playlists shrunk. They became much more nationalized. There was programming that was not controlled at the local level anymore, but by a regional program director and sometimes a national program director. And I think country music, which relies so heavily on airplay in order to move country, in order to create more awareness amongst country listeners about new and emerging talent, that I think they were particularly hard hit by this this change in the way it operated. Instead of getting to know your local program director or music director, now it's a regional person, and, you know, that gets much more difficult to access people like that.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that you guys really took apart the various revenue streams that musicians are tapping into these days. Are there new revenue streams, I mean, either through Sirius or through internet radio, that musicians are able to access that they weren't able to access before?
Yes. And in fact, there is a revenue stream that is a direct outgrowth of webcasting and satellite radio work, which is called the digital performance royalty. It didn't. It came into being in about 1998 with the passage of federal legislation that created a digital performance right for sound recordings. And so this means that when stuff gets played through your webcasts or through Sirius XM or Pandora or any of the big webcasters, there's each of those providers pays Sound Exchange. It's kind of a blanket license arrangement like you guys have with ASCAP and BMI, where there's a certain amount of money and playlists go to Sound Exchange, which then redirects the money to various rights holders. And in the case of Sound Exchange, the money goes 45% to the featured performer, 50% to the sound recording copyright owner, which is usually a record label, but could be an artist if they're releasing their work.
Huh.
And 5% goes to on session and programmers and performers, if there are any. So say you're a jazz band leader and there's session players on your work, there's a 5% pool of money that's managed by AFM and AFTRA together that pays them when their music is webcast.
I see. Kirsten, you sort of cut out for a second there, but the third category was session players?
Background players, session players, just the non-featured performers.
Right.
That was WGXC's Sarah Kendall and Noah Reibel talking to Kirsten Thompson from the Future of Music Coalition about musicians and the radio. This is Neil Young talking about the same thing.
This one's for you, Alan Freed. Wherever you go, whatever you do, because the things that doing today will make a scene out of you. Hear what I got to say. If a man is making music, he ought to let his record play.
Catch your wanna, catch your
hell of the blues.
Catch your catch your.
No matter where I go, I never hear my record on the radio. Well, here's 3,000. That ought to get it on. Thanks a lot, man. I love your new song. Got a great new record. I can't get through to you.
Catch your water, catch your water.
Hey, all the blues.
Catch your water, catch your water.
No matter where I go, I never hear my record on the radio. How about this new Mercedes Benz? That ought to get it on. Well, thanks a lot, man. I'll play it all day long.
Catch your water.
No matter where I go, I never hear my record on the radio.
Catch you water, water, catch you water, water, catch you water, water, catch you water, water.
Got to pay all the blues. Pay all the blues.
That was Neil Young with Pale of Blues. Behind us now is Arrington De Dionisio and Tolan McDonough performing live at the Spotty Dog Books and Ale Sunday, May 13th on Free 103 Online Radio through WGXC, our upstate affiliate in New York. We'll go out with a little list there. We're going to be regularly streaming shows from the Spotty Dog. Matt Valentine and Erica Elder are coming up this Thursday on 4103 Online Radio, so stay tuned. And this will take us out tonight on Turn on the News. I'm Tom Rowe. Oldtimer. You've been tuned in to Turn on the News, Free 103.9's daily look at radio art, radio news, media news, sound art, and more. Tune in to Turn on the News daily at free103.9.org. That's free103point9.org or newsroom.free103.9.org for links to international sources of radio art, radio news, and more.
The preceding show was produced by Free 103.9 at the WGXC Studios in New York.